Welcome to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. This is the big conversation. It's the great debate, but it can only be a debate, of course, if you join in. That's why, above all, I need your telephone calls on 44208-601-4555. You call us, we'll call you back. Establish a clear line. And remember, if you get on the television with me, the volume on your television has to be down at zero or no one will understand either of us. You can SMS the show also on 4478-00-8066 or you can email me at comment@presstv.co.uk. Now, I'm going to be firing some heavy guns this evening. But remember that everything I say here represents my own views, not necessarily the views of Press TV and certainly not the views of any government. Why am I going to be firing some heavy guns? Because, well, there's a whole lot of heavy guns firing this evening in the world, and many of them are the direct responsibility of the country to which I belong, namely the former Great Britain, now reduced to playing the foreign legion for the government of France and the so-called socialist president François Hollande. Beau geste, you might say. British forces in their little foreign legion hats and their funny jackets making off into the deserts of Mali, killing men, women and children in a matter that is of none of their business. That's my primary reason for being furious that Britain entered another war last weekend without Parliament being told, never mind asked, without anybody in Britain knowing anything about the conflict in Mali. We simply were delivered into another war against another Muslim country, killing more Muslims in North Africa because David Cameron decided so. And the spineless opposition in the British Parliament can't raise a whimper against it. I don't know very much about the politics of the government of Mali or the politics of the opposition to the government of Mali. But I do know that it's none of my business who governs Mali. And I have more than a slight suspicion that France's interest in Mali is more to do with its gold, its oil and its gas, and Britain's interest in assisting France is more to do with the same than any concern for human rights or the rights of musicians in Mali. That's all balderdash. That's all sand thrown into the eyes of the British public to keep them quiet. My second objection is this. Britain is bankrupt. How come we can't keep our own pensioners warm in the winter time, but we can set fire to Mali after having set fire to a whole number of other countries over the last decade or so? And as I've frequently said here, of course, nowadays, the empire strikes back, and it struck back already in Algeria. News coming in of a large number of foreign hostages killed in a shootout on the Algerian borderlands, and the responsibility for it lies with the British and French governments, because it's they who interfered in somebody else's business. It's they who prevailed upon Algeria to allow its airspace to be used to launch these bombing raids that are killing civilian people in Mali. And it was entirely predictable, and I predicted it on Twitter, on Facebook, everywhere I could, that if you go around poking your nose into other people's hornets' nests, you're going to get stung. And poor workers in the oil and gas industry have now been taken hostage, and some of them have been killed. So we're talking about Mali. We're talking about Algeria. We're talking about imperialism. But we're also talking about the bizarre propensity of some Muslims to slaughter other Muslims because of the very slightest confessional differences. I'm talking about the attack in Quetta, in Pakistan, and elsewhere. But we're concentrating on Pakistan because more than 100 people were slaughtered in Quetta in the last few days for no other reason than that they were Shiite Muslims. You can blame the government. You can blame the imperialists. It was Muslims that killed them. It was Muslims who killed Muslims while their own country is in the service of the empire and where the empire is actually occupying lands in the neighboring countries. Just this very evening, a leading Shiite politician in the city of Karachi was murdered. I'll warrant for no other reason than that he was a Shiite politician. So what is it with the Muslims that they find it acceptable to be slaughtering other Muslims? Where do they find in the Quran, in any text, any justification for this madness? I told you, these are just my views. They're not the views of Press TV, I dare say, and they're definitely not the views of any government, but they're my views, and I want to hear yours. The first caller is Farida from the UK on Algeria and Pakistan. Farida, welcome to the show.
Good evening, George.
Good evening. I'm all fired up this evening. What have you got to say?
I can see that. George, you know, when the Arab Spring started, I really felt that... Can you hear me?
Yes.
I really felt a ray of hope. And now, after seeing the aftermath of what's happening in the Muslim countries, I really do despair for the Muslim community sometimes. Why is it that when we do want democracy, we long for it, and when it comes knocking on our doors, we go for each other's throats? Why is this syndrome that we are not capable of running our own countries without the interference of the West? The UNO has not done us any favors at all. And we are in the throes of this madness. And the word democracy is being bandied around, George. The whole Muslim world has actually woken up. The events in Mali, like you said, the West will not stop interfering in our affairs if we can't get our house in order. When are we going to learn the lessons? When are we going to say we are capable of running our own countries? Pakistan is now another example. You mentioned the different facets of Punjab, saying, I don't know. George, are we naive or are we stupid or are we uneducated? We go around sort of waving the flags of Islam all over the world, and yet we're not capable of sorting ourselves out. I am in despair. Please
well,
help.
Look, Farida, I couldn't put that better myself, and so I shan't try. And it is the perfect kickoff to this show this evening. You've stated the whole case. Let's see how people respond to it. Reza's on the line from the United States of America, wants to talk about Pakistan. Reza, welcome to the show.
Thank you, George. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
First of all, I want to appreciate for those guys who chosen these topics. But I believe in that this is the topic that every Shia Muslims, every Shia groups, they suffer from that. Every place, you will see that the Shia groups are in a minority, and they're killed by the groups which are not unknown, or let's say they're unknown, and nobody knows who are they. But first of all, I want to add this, that I don't know why these countries, those that they call the democracy, in the name of the democracy, they did whatever they want to do, but never everybody has allowed to stop them from whatever they're doing. The Shia groups, I work in Pakistan. I did a lot of research on that. I know the population of the Shia group there. They know where are the Shia groups are centered. They try to kill them. They try to, I don't know, show that we are the Muslims, Muslim groups, they're fighting with each other. I know the Sahaba groups, who are they? They supported with the Saudis dollars, try to kill the Shia by their own groups, which are the Sahaba. Sahaba, you know the flags of the Wahhabiyuns.
Yeah.
It's written on that, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. This is the exactly slogan. This is the exactly shu'ar that we say, the Allahu Akbar, Muhammad Rasulullah. They are the common beliefs. But they try to show it to the board that the Muslims groups, they're fighting with each other and they're killing each other.
Well, I don't know if they're receiving salaries from the enemies of Islam, but they might as well be. They might as well ask for a salary because they're doing the job of those who hate Islam, who hate Muslims, who want to keep the Muslims slaughtering each other. The better for the powerful to pick their pockets and steal their wealth. Wake up, Ummah. That's what I say. What do you say? John's on the line from France. He wants to talk about Mali. John, welcome. How's the invasion and reconquest of Mali going down in France?
Well, obviously it's in the interests of the French government, or they think it's in their interest, to dictate to who the government is in Mali.
Not when the war comes home to them, they won't. Not when their soldiers start coming back in boxes.
Pardon?
When their soldiers start coming home in boxes and the Empire strikes back on the streets of Paris, as I promise you they undoubtedly will, it perhaps won't look like such a good idea then.
It isn't a good idea at all. I'm not suggesting for one second it's a good idea. I said, they think it is in their favour.
Yes. What about the public, John? What do they think?
Which one's that?
The public opinion in France. What's your take on that?
I haven't spoken to anybody very much. I've been away, actually, for a while.
Okay.
But I haven't spoken to anybody much about it. But all I know is that it's a political thing. What can you say? It suits the government of France to do what they're doing, and it's a political thing. And if they go to the United Nations and they get to the agreement of the United Nations to invade Mali, then they're in order. If they don't do that, then they're obviously not in order.
But that's the issue, isn't it, John? We have yet again former colonial powers invading and occupying their former colonies with no international legal basis and dressed up in the most absurd clothes. In the 19th century, it was dressed up in the clothes of civilization and Christianization. Then in the Blair era, it was humanitarian intervention. I've just read in the last 10 minutes, the justification for attacking Mali is that Malian musicians, if the opposition in Mali come to power, will not be able to practice their trade, will not be able to play their guitars and make the music that so many people, including I, enjoy. Replaced, of course, now with the music of the whistle of missiles and the roar of British warplanes. Take your pick. John, thanks for the call. Great call from France. Let's see what Ireland has to say in the form of Niall on Mali. Niall, welcome to the show. You know a thing or two about colonialism in Ireland.
We do indeed, George. We do indeed. My grandparents grew up under British colonialism and it wasn't a very, very happy experience for them. I'm just commenting on in relation to in Mali. And that we're being told by the Western media that it's all about fighting Islamists in this part of the world. Yet we're not told the fact that there's a lot of ulterior motives behind the French invasion of Mali. Well, first of all, the government in Mali is a military dictatorship, having deposed the democratically elected government last year.
Yeah.
And secondly, in relation to this, is that France, as you know, the former colonial power in the region, has a lot of vested interests in this part of the world. And as you know, Mali has substantial resources of gold and uranium. It's quite rich in it, despite the fact it's one of the poorest countries in the world. And the so-called Islamists that they're fighting in the Adani in the eastern part of Mali. Well, these guys were actually linked to the FIGL, the Islamic Front in Libya, whom France intervened on behalf of.
Indeed,
in
2011. And by the way, Niall, they're calling them Al Qaeda and saying they have to kill them because they're Al Qaeda, whilst the same countries are employing Al Qaeda in Syria, as you pointed out, formerly they did in Libya.
Yeah, it's absolutely bizarre, George. It stinks of hypocrisy and double standards. Here we have a Western, I would call it good old fashioned neocolonialism, imperialism. Here we have a Western power, France, once again interfering in the affairs of its former colony and making an absolute mess of things. I mean, if you look at the whole situation here, is that François Hollande, he's been making a mess of France, and now he's going to make a mess of Mali.
Fantastic, wonderful call, Niall, in Ireland. I'm proud of you. Kazim is in London, wants to talk about Pakistan. Kazim, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me, George.
You're welcome. Go ahead, sir.
This is my first time of ringing the show, but I've always, wanting to get through. May I just use this opportunity to say really happy and glad about the unity between Hamas and Fatah.
Yes.
And I wish they can continue on that.
Hallelujah.
But my main point that I want to talk about today is Palestine. Pakistan.
Yeah.
I need to say yes. Pakistan is a sovereign country. I don't know why they allow, because the word allow is, I use the word allow because they always say, oh, we don't allow the drone, the use of drone. And every time I turn it onto the news, I hear drones killing innocent people. And this is a country, and they couldn't do anything about it. I just don't understand that. I don't understand why America would say, oh, we wouldn't do this anymore. And then they'll start continuing doing the same thing. It's double standards of what they do all around the world. And the way I'm seeing where things are going, I don't know, maybe there'll be another third world war. Because America, Britain, France, what they're doing around the world, they are trying to separate, and they're separating the whole world. They're trying to make a war for the future instead of making peace. France and China and the rest of all the powers, they're on the other side, on Syria. Where is all this going to stop? When is America, Britain and France going to...
We're next. We're next, Kazim. It's, who knew we were going to be at war in Mali last Friday? I certainly didn't. But by Sunday, we were. We're next. I mean, are we going to invade Algeria next? I mean, where next? Is there no end to this colonial and reconquest agenda? Behzad is on the line from Germany. He wants to talk about Mali too. Behzad, go ahead.
Good evening, George.
Good evening, sir. Welcome to the show. Go ahead.
Well, I wanted to talk about Mali, and what is striking here is that on the one hand, we have France in action on Syria, a country which is witnessing a turmoil by the Al-Nusra Front, which is an Al-Qaeda-affiliated group and other Salafist and radical groups. But on the other hand, we see an intervention in Mali. And this shows
so
that...
So Al-Qaeda Syria is good. Al-Qaeda Libya was good. Al-Qaeda in the 1980s in Afghanistan was good. Then it became bad. Al-Qaeda, if they are in Mali, are bad. What sense can we make of this, Behzad?
Well, it shows the hypocrisy of Western governments,
of course. And the stupidity of the Western media, who never appear to notice this contradiction.
Yeah, of course. But to a certain extent, I am in a favor of the Mali intervention, because if you consider the distance of Mali to the European continent, we have to say that these groups have always stated that they want to overtake all countries and make these countries be Islamic governed by their radical view of Islam.
I haven't seen that in anything that the rebels in Mali have said. All they want to do is get rid of the military dictatorship that runs their country. That's their business. It's not your business in Germany or my business in London.
Well, I think you are too optimistic about that, George, because I can't imagine you haven't seen the leaders of Al-Qaeda stating this. Yeah.
I don't accept that they are Al-Qaeda, and they don't accept that they are Al-Qaeda. This is a stamp that's put on people to justify bombing them in one country, and a stamp which is removed from other people to justify employing them to cause carnage in different countries, namely Syria or Libya before it. Let's take Libya, Bezad. We used to render so-called Al-Qaeda to Gaddafi to be tortured. Then we supported the same people to kill Gaddafi and come to power. We're supporting Al-Qaeda in Syria, but bombing people in Mali because we say the rebels there are Al-Qaeda. This is madness. This is a kind of insanity. Only a fool could believe this story, surely.
Okay, so you say that Al-Qaeda is not a threat to humanity?
Nobody hates Al-Qaeda more than me. I hated them when Britain and America were giving them guns and money and diplomatic and political and media support in Afghanistan throughout the 1980s. So don't try and hang Al-Qaeda on me. But what I will not accept is the right of the former empires to return to the scenes of their former crimes and reoccupy those countries because they state that Al-Qaeda has to be defeated in that country, especially when the same empires are employing Al-Qaeda in Syria as they previously did in Libya. Bezad, thanks for the call. In Germany, I've got to take Mohammed, who's in Tehran, on the same subject. Mohammed, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Al George. Good evening.
Good evening. Go ahead quickly.
I think Mali crisis shocked the real policy of the West. George, this is the joking situation. Who led them to attack other countries? They can't understand anything except the war, which call it democracy.
They don't even know where Mali is, Mohammed. Mohammed, if I took 650 British MPs and showed them a map of Africa and asked them to point to the country we're now at war with, almost none of them would be able to do so. They know nothing about Mali. They don't know it has a military dictatorship. They know nothing about the political demands of those who have risen up against that military dictatorship. It's a farce, Mohammed.
Yes, that's right. And I can't understand. There isn't any problem. I mean, France, the percent of unemployment raising day in, day out. Who are the people?
You're right.
They are resident in
Canada. Look, Britain and France. I can't speak for France in particular, though I know they've got absolute economic crisis in their country. As members of the Eurozone, of course. Britain is bankrupt. I mean bankrupt. It came out of one recession and promptly fell into another. Its pensioners are cold. Its children are unemployed and can't afford to go to university because the fees have been tripled per year to £9,000. Hundreds of thousands of our workers have been sacked in the last 12 months as part of the austerity program of the Cameron government. Our economy is absolutely on the floor. How come we've got money to make war on Mali, but we don't have money to put the young people in my constituency in Bradford back to work, or give them training, or send them to college or university? What kind of madness is this, that there's money for war after war after war, but there's no money to keep our own people in jobs and our own services going? When will the British people stand up to this? When will the so-called opposition in the British Parliament speak up against it? When will the idiots who run our media, the laptop warriors who've got their laptops out already, plotting the war that they're going to enjoy in Mali. God willing, I'll be back in a couple of minutes after the news. Don't go away. Welcome back to Comment with me, George Galloway, on Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. France has reconquered Mali. It's like a Carry On film, Carry On to Timbuktu. And Britain is the tail of, this time, a French poodle. I mean, it was one thing being George Bush's poodle, but to be the tail of a French poodle, is that what Britain has come to? We're talking about Mali. And we're talking about Algeria, where already the blowback has begun. Hostages have been killed in a shootout on the Algerian border. We don't know how many yet. We don't know where they're from. But we do know that they were killed in part because Britain and France have invaded neighboring Mali. We're talking about Pakistan and the propensity of Muslims to murder other Muslims because they don't like the particular brand of Islam that those other Muslims support. It's a very bizarre situation where all of Islam is being occupied, being bombed, being made war against, being ridiculed, being subject to hate videos and hate cartoons. And some Muslims think the answer is to murder other Muslims. You really couldn't make it up. Gerard's on the line from Zimbabwe. About Mali. Gerard, welcome to the show.
Welcome, George Galloway.
Great to hear from you, sir. Go ahead.
Salam alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Yes, I just want to talk about the crisis in Mali.
Please do. Go ahead.
Yes. Do you still remember, Pig Botha, what you said some time back? You said Africa will be recolonized again.
Yeah.
So these guys, the big powers, are going back to the people, fighting, creating wars, so that they can go into another World War III, subvert all those recession controlling the whole world right now. There is an arms race between America, Britain, France, so they are using all these Muslim states to be battlegrounds, so they can get minerals and sell their guns, weapons, so that in the near future they will control their dreams. The new dream that wanted to fight 40, 60 wars during that time so that you could control the whole of the world, bring the American dream to the American people. Britain is in deep recession right now. They want to create another phenomenon where they will be controlling the whole world again, recolonizing people, causing chaos.
Yeah, but there's a key difference. Again. There's a key difference, brother. In the last scramble for Africa, the European colonialists were rich and powerful. Now the European colonialists are bankrupt, and as will be proven in Mali, as is being proven in Afghanistan and previously in Iraq, are not very powerful at all. Africa is rich, and the African people will fight back against the recolonization of the continent. Of that, I'm absolutely certain. Gerard in Zimbabwe, thank you. Let's talk to Ahmed in Italy about Mali. Ahmed, go ahead.
Good evening, Mr. George.
Good evening, sir. Go ahead, quickly.
Yeah, fine. I wonder that Ghana, Africa have AU, and I'm not seeing the use of that AU in Africa. And I'm saying that our leaders in Africa, there is no woman being in Africa's leaders. I wonder why we are giving these Europeans, because now I'm talking from Italy. I'm in Malian. I have seek asylum in Italy. There is no any help there. And they are now there killing our peoples in Africa. We don't know what these peoples are looking for. Mr. George, what right now our leaders are doing in Africa? I don't know what they are. We see what happened in Libya, and still We don't know what our leaders are doing.
Well, Ahmed, I'll tell you this. Italy, which was last in Libya about 75 years ago and massacred 25% of all Libyans under the Mussolini fascist dictatorship, was back bombing and killing Libyans just a year ago. France, which milked its African colonies of all that it could take from them, tortured them, killed them, and ruled them in a comic opera. Colonial administration, even more absurd than the British, just not quite as absurd as the Belgian or the Italian, is now back in control of Mali. If the Malian people put up with that, then they're not the lions of Africa, which I believe them to be. Ahmed in Italy, thanks very much for the call. We're talking about the recolonization of Africa. We're talking about the attack on Mali. We're talking about the hostage situation, which has quickly arisen in Algeria. And we're talking about Pakistan. And that's what Shahid in London wants to talk about. Pakistan. Shahid, welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum, George.
Alaikum salam, brother. Go ahead.
All right. Basically, I just want to say, George, yeah, to everyone who's listening to this show, yeah, that the situation today is actually really, really, really bad. Everywhere you go and everywhere you look, people are on the streets, people are suffering, you know, people are dying, women, children, you know, innocent people are getting killed.
Two children killed in Afghanistan today by American bombs. Two women, somebody's mother, somebody's wife, somebody's daughter, somebody's sister, and their two children killed by the Americans in Afghanistan today.
There you go, George. Exactly what you just said there. Innocent people are dying because of all these problems. Now, the problem is actually that if that all of the people, that the power people of the world, that rule the world, if they can easily sort this kind of problems that is occurring in all over the world today. Look at Pakistan. Is a nuclear country. At the moment, it's very unstable. You know, if we was to stop spending the money in F-16s and bombs and nuclear and everything, we could feed all the poor people of the world. We can bring water to the people that need it. We can bring peace and education to all these countries. You know, Mali, they don't need to go bring F-16s over Mali and blow up people and kill people to make the problem better. What they need to do is bring water, bring education.
No, I'll tell you what they need to do, Shahid. Great call, by the way. What they need to do is not bring anything. Just leave Mali to the people of Mali. Just let the people of Mali choose their own government. Let them overthrow their military dictatorship if that's what they want to do. Mali is rich. That's the point, Shahid. It's not poor. Mali is rich. It has oil, uranium, gas, oil. That's why we're invading it. Shahid, thanks for the call. Mehdi's in France on Mali. Mehdi, welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, I think the situation in Mali is very particular because we have, as you said, as you just said, people who are fighting for independence, and it is mixed with the label of Al Qaeda, and this is very particular. And France is playing with the Malian government to be able to control it, and say to them, if we don't help you, they will take the country. If you do not let us help you, these terrorists will take the country. And I don't think the whole Malian government is corrupted. I think there are very very There are very good elements in the Malian government, and this is a very particular situation, and this is not Pakistani situation is more clearer in Pakistan. Pakistan is a key country which has nuclear power, and the only thing which prevents Israel to take the whole Middle East is the Pakistani nuclear weapon. And I think the Islamic scholars don't play their role and don't say we have to condemn this aggression from France of Mali. We have to condemn these false manifestations in demonstrations in Pakistan, and we have people who are the scholars who say we are for revolution, we are for liberty. They are the most ridiculized people in the Zionist medias, like Memory TV or like, for example, Yusuf al-Qardawi, and this is very these scholars are very
I'll tell you what, Mehdi, you've had plenty of words, and they've been largely very good ones, and I'm very grateful to you for calling in from France to make them. But I need to go now to Ghana to talk to Yusuf on Mali and Pakistan. Yusuf, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead, sir. You're on the air.
Hello, Mr. George.
Yes, brother, go ahead.
Good evening, Mr. George.
Good evening.
Hello, good evening, Mr. George.
Good evening, sir. Go ahead quickly, please.
Okay, I'm very happy to talk to you this evening. In fact,
thank you.
You are doing a very wonderful job for us.
I salute the
you
land of Kwame Nkrumah. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, I'm saluting
you
the land of Kwame Nkrumah.
To dark because you are teaching us what we do not know. So we are very grateful for that. I want to talk about Mali. Mr. George, this America and then France and others, their allies, are they raising up at all? Because I don't know why they want to use blood for money. How can you use blood for money? Because you have the same blood in you. If others do want the same blood you have for money, how will you feel? Because what have Mali two done? They are now coming from Syria to Mali in the name of fighting Al-Qaeda. If you are fighting Al-Qaeda in Mali, why are you in line with Al-Qaeda in Syria?
This is the question, Yusuf, that is literally impossible to answer. We invented Al-Qaeda in the 1980s in order to fight the Red Army in Afghanistan at the time. Then Al-Qaeda murdered thousands of our people in America and London and in Madrid and elsewhere. We anathematized them. Then we sent them back to Gaddafi to be tortured. Then we gave them guns and money to overthrow Gaddafi. Then we sent them to Syria. And now we're invading Mali in order to defeat Al-Qaeda. It is the ravings of madmen, Yusuf. No? We lost Yusuf in Ghana. What a pity. Don't stay away, Yusuf. Come back again next week. Amar is in Toronto. He wants to talk about Algeria, Mali, and Pakistan, all three of our topics. Amar, you'll need to be quick. There's a lot of people on the line. Go ahead.
Salaam alaikum, George.
Alaikum salam, brother. Go ahead.
May Allah give you health and energy to stand up for the right.
Thank you, brother, inshallah.
Nobody has did the way, whatever you did.
Thank you.
I got a message to the brothers in Pakistan. Where is democracy? Let's stop differentiating ourselves from Shia and Sunni. Let's give it to Allah. Let him decide who is right, who is wrong. And let's do what we have been requested to do. Fulfill what we have to fulfill on our religion and leave the rest to him. And Al-Qaeda is the founder of it. We know at the West, mostly U.S., as you said, back in 80s in Afghanistan. It went back. If they are good, they are good in Syria. They are good in where else that they are fulfill their desire, American desire, and whoever is supporting them. And they are bad in where they are not supported, like anywhere else.
In Mali, yeah.
In Mali and any other places that they are not likable. In Syria, they are being paid to commit all the murders and suicide that is going on. They will not defeat Bashar. May Allah give him strength and energy to stand up for his country. Syria is the best country which has never experienced violence that they do right now, with all the civil war that they had with Lebanon and Turkey during the past years. It had never been the way it is now. And it's a organized crime that it's been going around. And we all know that. And how long shall we wait? And how long shall we witness all this murder and killing that is going around the world?
Amin, Amar, Amin. Excellent call from Toronto. Let's go to David in the United Kingdom. Again, on all three of the topics. David, go ahead. I think that one just fell off the switchboard, unfortunately. We haven't had many from the UK this evening, but my goodness, we've been getting around the world, and very high-quality discourse it has been. If you think so, then tell other people about this program. Tell other people about Press TV, which is the voice of the voiceless. We are talking about Mali, where the French have reoccupied the country. The military dictatorship in Mali, nowadays known in the Western media as the government of Mali, even though they're actually only in power in Mali because they overthrew the government of Mali by brute force. They're a military junta, and they're fighting a group of rebels. So far, so interesting. What's our business? What's France's business? It's none of our business who wins in a conflict for power in Mali, is it? Unless we really want to be in power in Mali ourselves. Isn't that the point? David's back in the UK on these matters. David, welcome.
Hello, George.
Hi there. Go ahead, sir.
George, I am seemingly angry this particular week. I've never even heard of Mali until this week. I don't know really what's going on out there, but again, we haven't learned one thing over decades of interference. We're going into a country that 99% of the population probably hasn't got a clue what's happening. We're interfering again in a Muslim country. We're interfering again to say who we should and who we shouldn't have in those particular countries as their government. I cannot understand, and I get angrier and angrier as the days go on. I really don't understand what the British government, the French government, are playing at, other than to spill blood and have more wars to make more profit for the bombs and the bullets.
I think that's it, David. I thought that was a wonderful phrase that was coined by our caller from Ghana. They're using blood for money. That's what they're doing, isn't it?
Always the same.
They're using blood for money, but they're right now spending our money. David, your money and my money is now being spent in a country you'd never heard of a few days ago. And I'm a member of parliament, and nobody consulted the parliament whether we were going into a new war or not. And we're supposed to be a democracy. It's unbelievable, David.
You know, in this country, people are suffering. The state benefits have been cut and will be carry on being cut. People got disability allowances.
Disabled people being driven out of their wheelchairs into jobs. Pensioners shivering and hungry, choosing between food and fuel. Young people unable to get jobs, unable to get into college. But we've got money to set fire to Mali. Thanks, David. Great call. Ahmed is in Iran. Wants to talk about Pakistan. Ahmed, go ahead.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam. Go ahead quickly.
I am sorry, cannot speak English well. If you can understand Arabic, I ask you in Arabic and you answer me English, please.
No. This is an English-speaking channel. Go ahead, please, okay. Quickly.
Okay. How do you think is the responsible of this situation in Pakistan?
I didn't understand that, Ahmed. Sorry. You need to come back next week with it prepared in front of you. We are talking about Pakistan. We're talking about the sectarian madness that took place in Quetta and again this afternoon in Karachi, where huge numbers of people in the case of Quetta were slaughtered for no other reason than that they were Shiites. And they were slaughtered by people who say that they're acting on behalf of Sunnis. Now, I know that the vast majority of Sunnis have no truck with this kind of madness, but a very substantial number of people appear ready to partake of it. And I would like to know why. I'd like somebody to explain to me why. Bala is on the line from Dubai about Mali. Go ahead, Bala.
Hello, Mr. Galloway.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I really appreciate this program you are airing.
Thank you.
It's really interesting.
Thank you.
I just want to make a little contribution regarding the Mali invasion by the French.
Yeah.
You see, I'm a Nigerian living here in Dubai, and I have a heart condition. So sometimes if I have problem, I do go to Dubai government hospital, and all emergency cases regarding heart is free of charge. This service I don't get in my country. And my country, Nigeria, practice democracy. There is a hospital called Iranian Hospital here in Dubai. A lot of Nigerian politicians' family do come to this Iranian hospital. They attend this hospital because the drugs there are free. Now, the West is trying to introduce democracy in Africa. The rebels, the so-called rebels in Mali, they are trying to topple the dictators because they are not being good to them. That is why they want to introduce the system of government they feel is good for them. Now, talking about democracy, if they go back to Nigeria, if they can invade Nigeria today, if Britain can invade Nigeria to topple the democratic government, the masses will support British invaders. Why? Because the politicians who are governing the people, who are supposed to be the representative of the people, they are there busy enriching themselves. 98% of the politicians attended public schools. But as I'm talking to you now, 90%...
Well, Bala, that's an argument for changing the politicians. It's not an argument against democracy. The people of Nigeria, who, by the way, have now sent their army also into the invasion and occupation of Mali, the people of Nigeria have got to combine, unite, rise up, and change their politicians if they are as bad as you say that they are. But the answer cannot possibly be to bring back the colonial master, the Bwana, yeah, the Khawaja, whose purpose in your country is to steal your money, to steal your wealth. Can't you see that? You think they're there for your good? Look, it's been marvelous for me. If it was for you, come back next week and bring somebody else with you. Until then, go in peace.
Hello, just comment your name and the picture with that number. And just make sure the site your television volume is set to 0.
0, 0. Can you spell your name for me?
Yeah, I know. You'll be directly put through this. Your phone number and then we'll be back. Comment.